I'm John Batchelor. FedGov Today. My colleague and friend, Francis Rose, is the host of FedGov Today, a podcast twice a week in conversation with professionals who are the federal government or work with the federal government across this nation, but especially in the D.C. area. FedGov Today. The things I do not know about the federal government. At the same time, Francis is the host of FedGov Today on Channel 7 in the nation's capital, a TV show on Sunday mornings. We turn now, however, to Francis's gathering of information about one particular opinion at the White House, which is the president has expressed it, and his chief of staff, Mr. Zients, has echoed it. Return to work. The federal workforce, under the pandemic, worked from home with great raves, high satisfaction, eliminating the commute, a lot of productivity. But now the White House is directing, and the apparatus at the agencies and administrations and all through the government are obliging. But, Francis, a very good evening to you. Your FedGov Today site has a wonderful piece from YouTube, which is a piece of the testimony of four members of the federal government before the Subcommittee on Government Operations and the Federal Workforce. A long way around, this is the workforce. We heard from NASA. We heard from the National Nuclear Regulatory Agency. We heard from the National Science Foundation. We heard from Homeland Security. You tell me these are four parts of the government that showed up to testify. And in the case of all of them, there were Homeland Security, for example, there were statistics, but then there were unknowns. What did you learn from these young individuals testifying? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program, as always. What I learned from these people was that the return to office, which I like to call it rather than return to work, because the federal employees have been working all throughout the pandemic remotely. The return to office concept across the government is happening, I view it, in fits and starts. It's happening sporadically. And it's happening unevenly. Different agencies are approaching it in different ways, and it's manifesting itself differently at different agencies. For example, the Department of Homeland Security has a huge number of law enforcement positions that can't be done remotely. Obviously, you don't get screened through the Transportation Security Administration checkpoint at the airport remotely. That all happens on site. And so the different statistics that agencies deliver and the different occupancy numbers that agencies are showing are going to vary all across the government. Another thing I took away from this hearing is that the chair of the subcommittee made sure to point out at the beginning that these four agencies were agencies who responded well, in his view, to questions that the subcommittee asked about back to office numbers, about how many employees were coming in, how often they were coming in, overall occupancy rates and square footage usage and so on in the most recent timeframes. He also made very sure to point out that there are a number of agencies that did not answer those questions to his satisfaction. And so those agencies would be coming to testify in the not too distant future also. One final takeaway, I guess, that I had from this hearing is that there seem to be two schools of thought among Republicans in the House. Their school of thought seems to be that pretty much everybody that can should come back to the office as quickly as possible. If they're not going to come back, then how quickly can we get rid of the office space? What's reasonable to be able to get rid of the office space and not pay for it? And the Democrats on the committee and more broadly in the House of Representatives seem to be of the school of thought of we should let pretty much anybody that wants to work remotely or telework do so if it doesn't impact their ability to do their jobs. Those are the main takeaways that I have from the not just this hearing, but from the overall back to office debate that's going on in Washington, John.
You have pointed out to me that there is a distinction made between organizations that work in teams best for innovation and invention and dissent, and organizations that work solitary lives. And these four agencies, the National Science Foundation, NASA, the NRC, and Homeland Security, all are hands-on styles. And That means they're filled with engineers and program directors who need teams around them to go forward in their task. That might be an explanation for why they obliged the request and other agencies or other administrations that are less hands-on. That would be, for example, the State Department or Commerce, where people are in silos and managing different parts of the economy. They would be less likely to be in a room ever with their colleagues. Now, I'm reasoning backwards from what I learned from private industry, which is the engineering firms and the firms that deal with physical labor. They're back at work, back at the office, as you say, back together after the pandemic. That is not true for lawyers and bankers and professionals who work in solitary most of the time.
Well, and those are the arguments, John, that each of these four federal officials made to the committee, to the subcommittee. They said, we don't have now a blanket policy for every employee about you should come to the office or you can telework or work remotely. They want to look at each individual job description at least differently and determine what works for the agency's mission. The Department of Homeland Security gentleman performing the duties of the Undersecretary for Management, Randolph Allis, the former Secret Service director, said that DHS is doing, in many cases, more work, getting more accomplished than they did in everybody coming into the office. And he pointed out something that I've seen HR people talking about on LinkedIn and other places, and not just in the federal government, which is if somebody came into the office and spent most of their day at the water cooler or in the cafeteria, they didn't get really any more work done than people who some of the members of the committee at this hearing seem to worry about were not getting things done remotely. So it's as dependent in their views on the activities of the employee and the work that that employee has to do to help meet the mission of the agency as it is on some policy that's made in Washington and implemented across the country.
FedGov Today, your conversations with professionals beyond just worrying about who's back at the office. You talked especially to Michael Darios, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Senior Procurement Executive at the State Department, which confused me until I listened to Michael, who's very articulate. He has a global job. Acquisitions is not just domestically, it's overseas as well. And many of the people he's working with are not American citizens. We hire them foreign in the embassies and legations around the world. I was impressed by the scale of it, and he was passionate. As he said, I'm passionate about this job. This is lining desks and chairs and people up with what's available in the local economy. But at some point, I believe I heard it correctly, Michael's worried about retention. Did I hear that correctly, Francis?
Yeah, you did. And that's in keeping with pretty much every acquisition professional all across the government, a lot of other specialties too. But acquisition people in general, and Mike in particular, have workforces that are either eligible to retire or attractive to companies in the private sector, not just contractors that sell to the federal government. How to buy stuff and the processes that one must follow to buy stuff are probably more complicated in the federal government than any place else in the United States economy. And so the folks that do that kind of work at the State Department are very attractive, and all across the federal government are very attractive to private sector companies. And so Mike's challenge is, if we don't pay as much, and he didn't say it, but I think it's fair to read between the lines, if we are not able to offer workplace flexibilities like remote work and telework, then it's just another disadvantage to the private sector for these folks to get poached. And we saw it a little bit during the pandemic, and you and I have talked about agency hopping, a term that the director of the Office of Personnel Management, Kieran Ahuja, coined. And the fear now is that instead of hopping from one federal agency to another that has a more flexible workplace, employees will find that the federal workplace in general is not amenable to such flexibilities, and they'll just hop right out to the private sector and not come back.
Last revelation, 30 seconds. He's recruiting on college campuses. Isn't that wonderful? Uncle Sam needs you for acquisitions at the State Department. It made me laugh.
They're getting folks wherever they can get them, John. They will take all comers if you can meet the qualifications.
Once upon a time, it would have been the Marine Corps. Now it's State Department acquisitions. Francis Rose of FedGov Today, Sunday mornings on Channel 7, the nation's capital, twice a week on podcast. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.